Chapter 5. The Mission. Awakening. Orders. As was customary when two clans met to draw up plans of war, they shared Zira, a fiery spirit that served many purposes between the tribesmen of Medusa. It was drunk when old grudges needed settling, when war was afoot, or upon the death of a firstborn son. Vimana Sybus sourced a Payala bowl, and they drank to this meeting of brothers. With the emptied bowl making its way back around to Cadmus Tyro, they drank again, this time to Septus Thoic's incredible survival. Cast from the wreck of the Zeta Morgeld, Thoic's battleplate withstood the worst of the barrage storm and sealed itself tighter than a dreadnought's sarcophagus. Its savior beacon had been picked up by the Iron Heart, and Malleus Ferrum had retrieved him en route to the Sisypheum. Thoic flatly refused any notion of treatment in the Apothecarian, claiming that any Averniae veteran who couldn't take the pain of a few radiation burns wasn't worthy of the rank. At Medusan's suggestion, the Iron Hands withdrew to the training chambers adjacent to the embarkation deck. Rather than enter the ship proper, he would speak to the Sisypheum's master in the shadow of its arming chambers and sparring cages.
Trust me, I understand the need to compartmentalize battle cells more than most, he said, tapping the corrugated burn scars covering his left cheek. A Sons of Horus war leader named Tybalt Mar and a burning flagship reminded me of that.
Then why are you here? Said Sharrakin,
who had been waiting for them in the gloom of the chamber.
Your presence here endangers us all.
Ashur Mason bristled at Sharrakin's lack of respect. His hand slid onto the wire-wound hilt of his scabbarded hype mesa, until Medusan raised an open hand.
Easy, Sergeant Mason, said Medusan. The Raven Lord's son asks a fair question.
Cadmus Tyro had granted Medusan permission to bring an honor guard aboard the Sisypheum. The first was Ashur Mason, a squad sergeant whose taut posture reminded Tyro of the scarred warriors he'd seen in the 12th Legion's fighting pits. A threaded ring of rusted service studs hung from the pommel of his hebmesa, a disemboweling knife more often favored by scouts of the Night Lords. Medusan named the second warrior as Cascon Malthace, his equerry. Tyro liked the look of Malthace immediately. His left fist was an iron gauntlet with an implanted flail and chain of cold iron. He never strayed more than a meter from his clan leader.
I don't know you, Raven, said Medusan. Brother...
Sharrakin didn't reply, and the silence between the two warriors hung heavy until Tyro answered.
His name is Nikona Sharrakin of the 19th Legion, he said, unaccountably feeling the need to rise to Sharrakin's defense. A fellow veteran of the Black Sands of Istvan, but not one that yet has a voice aboard this vessel.
The Raven Guard warrior shot Tyro a hostile look as Medusan nodded and said,
Tell me, Brother Sharrakin, how do you think the Iron Heart was close enough to fight alongside the Sisypheum?
You were hunting the Alpha Legion, said Sharrakin.
Following them, corrected Medusan.
Why?
Let me ask another question in return. Do you know the hardest part of cryptography? It's not breaking a code. It's using what you learn in a way that doesn't let the enemy know you understand their communiques. But sometimes what you learn gives rise to a mission that makes such a risk worthwhile.
What mission? Asked Tyro.
Medusan grinned, but puckered scar tissue around his ravaged cheek and lips turned it into the death mask of a corpse.
Killing Alpharius.
No one said anything, too stunned at the prospect of what Medusan suggested. Killing a Primarch. Horror had taught Tyro such a thing was entirely possible, but for so few of them?
even led by one as mighty as Shadrach Mitchison.
Just us, said Tyro at last. Alone, without calling in any support?
Yes.
Kill Alpharius? Primarch Alpharius, said Tyro.
Mitchison nodded and said,
The one and only.
How could you know for sure that these ships would lead you to him?
Asked Sharokin.
We only learned of the Morgel's destination in the course of our attack.
Careful, little raven, said Mitchison, leaning forwards. You are a survivor of Istvan, so you have my respect, but not my leave to offer insults. Mason and Malthace take a very dim view of such things.
Brother Sharokin means no disrespect, said Tyro, but his question is valid.
Mitchison paused, and Tyro saw him look over at Malthace, who gave an almost imperceptible nod.
My apologies, Brother Sharokin, Mitchison sighed. You are right to ask. Past losses have made me wary of those whose worth I do not yet know.
Sharokin nodded, accepting the apology, and Tyro saw the bone-deep weariness behind Mitchison's disfigurement. This was a man with only this one last throw of the dice left, one chance to avenge all those he had lost. As though coming to a decision within himself, Mitchison nodded.
You are not the only ship with access to a Kryptos, he said.
And once again the crew of the Sisyphean was stunned to silence. Mitchison filled that silence with a grating sound that might once have been laughter, but was now a bitter, emphysemic rattle.
You honestly believe I'd come this far out and risk so much for the head of anyone less than a Primarch?
You have a Kryptos on the Iron Heart? Asked Wayland.
We did, said Mitchison with a wheezing sigh. An unknown pyro-necrotic self-destruct genome that escaped our Iron Father's augurs burned it alive from the inside out 4 months ago. But not before decrypting some high-level vox trace we managed to intercept. Couched in riddles and argo, of course, but it all pointed to an imminent conclave of senior Alpha Legion commanders. It seems they were heading for a pre-arranged rally point to receive orders in person from their Primarch. The Morgeld was en route to rendezvous with the Malquiant, before travelling to this conclave, but...
We killed it, finished Tyro.
You killed it, agreed Mitchison. And our best chance of making these traitors suffer, as we have suffered, is gone.
Well, not necessarily, said Sybus,
and Tyro cursed him for his loose tongue.
Sabic Whalen was able to explode the Morgeld's avionics logister before the crew could destroy it.
Truly, Brother Wayland, said Mitchison,
slamming a fist into his palm as he circled the nearest of the sparring cages. His blood-red eye flared, reminding Tyro of Atesh Tarsa. The clan captain's excitement filled the training hall. Wayland nodded.
I haven't been able to unlock it entirely, but I know the Zeta Morgeld's next waypoint was this system's third planet.
Then the prey is still in the crosshairs, said Mitchison,
gripping the reinforced steel bars of the cage. The iron of his gauntlet creaked with pressure as he bent the bars back on themselves.
Oh, we must fight alongside Mitchison and his warriors, Cadmus, demanded Sybus. The Primarch taught us to alloy our power to augment our strength. What better way of striking back is there than killing the War Master's brother?
Tyro saw the sense in this, but his anger at the presumption Sybus had shown held him back from agreeing immediately. He wanted to fight with his brothers, of that there was no doubt. His heart cried out for this vengeance. Shadrach Bloody Mitchison himself was offering a chance to slake his thirst for traitor deaths. Mitchison saw his hesitation and released the twisted bars of the sparring cage.
No, that I would welcome the strength of your warriors, Brother Tyro.
But there is more you must hear before making any decision. I plan to go up against a Primarch. The runt of the litter, it said, aye, but a Primarch, nevertheless.
What must I hear?
Medjuson tapped a finger against his chin.
Tell me, have you heard the term doppelganger?
No.
I have, said Sharokin. It's a Teuton word from Old Earth. It means twin walker, a double. We used doppelgangers when we wanted to deceive the overseer's kill teams in the mines. It made it impossible for them to know for sure which one was Primarch Korax's main attack.
Exactly, said Medjuson, snapping his iron fingers so hard that they cast sparks.
He arrived at a rack of wire-suspended combat servitors, lifeless flesh mannequins equipped with a mix of blades and close-quarters blast guns. He pulled one along the rails as he completed his circle of the sparring cage. He held the part-organic, part-machine thing out before him like a prop.
One of the last things we learned from the Kryptos before it self-combusted was that Alpharius has taken to using doppelgangers to throw hunters like us from his scent, said Medjuson. He seeks to weave a web of obfuscation around him, like a shroud of invisibility.
Medjuson gave another of his death-rattle laughs.
They say that not even his own legion know where he walks now.
Tyro could feel the weight of expectation pressing in on him from those iron hands standing in the training chamber. They wanted this. They needed this. Medjuson tapped an oath seal on his shoulder guard, and Tyro saw the icon of a hydra pressed into the wax. A hydra with its many heads severed.
I am oath-sworn to the mission, said Medjuson. But there is no shame in you and your warriors continuing to fight as you are.
Tyro saw the truth in that, but what better chance would there be to hurt the traitors? Yet even as he formed the words to bind his fate to Medjuson's, Sharokin's caution lodged like a stubborn shard of hot metal in his hammer hand. No. This was a decision requiring wiser counsel than any here gathered could offer.
I will take your mission to Captain Branthon, he said.
We don't need to do this,
said Cybus, as they approached the captain's cryo-sepulchre.
It's clear what we have to do. You know I'm right. Tell him, Thematica.
The Ironwrought looked up at the mention of his name. He nodded, and Tyro saw Thoic and Newman were also in agreement with Cybus.
Most likely you are, Vermana, replied Thematica. But Ulrich Branthon is still captain of this vessel. He needs to know what is at stake.
You know what you say?
Aye, I believe I do, said Tyro. And I would hear it from his lips, not yours.
Cybus fell into a brooding silence as the blast-shielded door opened at their approach. Garuda, who had been following them down through the ship, flew in as a wall of icy mist rolled out. Tyro followed the bird inside. The cold hit him like a blow. He imagined this was what Fenris was like. Medusa knew ice, but nothing like that which the sons of Russ boasted of their homeworld. Truth be told, the frozen air no longer bothered Tyro. He had little enough flesh left on his frame for it to affect. The numerous chimeric augmentations he and Vermana had undergone over the decades rendered them immune to most weaknesses of flesh. But not even centuries of training, discipline, and bioconditioning could entirely remove weakness of spirit. Garuda perched on icicle-hung ductwork near the ceiling, looking down at Tarsa, who was bent double over an opened panel on the side of Branthon's frost-limbed casket. A host of blinking lights and stripped wires were bound together with saw-toothed clips.
"Is there a problem?" asked Tyro.
Tarsa looked up from his ministrations as the Iron Hands entered and shrugged.
"No more than usual," he said,
dragging numerous heavy cables from the machinery beneath the casket.
Fluid reservoirs need to be filled, capacitors recharged, and burnt-out wires replaced. It takes a great deal of effort and resources to keep the captain alive.
Whatever it takes, said Tyro.
The apothecary nodded and plugged the cables into devices whose function Tyro could not even begin to imagine. It seemed the humming pitch of the casket changed, but it was impossible to be certain. Once, in a rare moment of introspection, Tyro had confessed his doubts to Branthon's unmoving body. He had spoken of how he was unworthy to lead the crew of the Sisypheum. That conversation haunted him still, and every moment since had been spent trying to prove those self-pitying words wrong. Septus Thoic moved past Tyro to stand at the end of Branthon's icy prison. He stared down at the captain, his features raw and gleaming from radiation exposure. The scars the Third Legion swordsman had given Thoic still looked painful. He bore his hurt stoically, but his strained features and bloodshot eyes told a more honest tale of his suffering.
You should let me examine you, Septus, said Tarsa.
Thoic coughed and shook his head as though dizzy.
There's no need, apothecary, he said,
straightening and waving Tarsa away.
I'm fit enough to perform my duties.
Leave him be, said Cybus. We've more important matters to discuss than Thoic's burns.
The Mana Cybus was a warrior of great skill and courage, who excelled in battle, but lacked for any trace of empathy in the times between war-making. But in this case, Cybus was entirely correct.
How much time will we have, Apothecary Tarsa?
He asked.
2 minutes, said the salamander, give or take.
Well, that's longer than normal.
Against all reason, every reading says Captain Branthon's injuries are lessened, said Tarsa. He now seems to be winning the fight for life.
The Heart of Iron, said Tyro.
Perhaps.
Tyro looked through the web of hoarfrost coating the curved glass. Ulrak Branthon's features were frozen in the last instant of consciousness he'd known, like a waxen effigy or a servitor with the data wafer yanked suddenly from its skull, his features were bereft of anything suggesting life.
I thought you said it was killing him.
It was, or at least I believed it was.
Well, don't you know,
said Cybus.
You're the damn apothecary.
For a warrior whose heart pumped the molten blood of Nocturne, Atesh Tarsa remained calm in the face of hostility. He met the veteran's gaze with his own blood-red stare, and it was Cybus who looked away first.
The Heart of Iron predates the Imperium by thousands of years, said Tarsa. How it interacts with Legion anatomy is a mystery only the Emperor, beloved by all, could fathom.
Cybus wasn't about to let the uncertainty of the captain's fate lie.
What about you, Thematica?
He said, waving a hand at the Cyber Eagle.
You've dealt with artifacts from the Land of Shadows before.
Thematica stared at the bird before returning his scrutiny to Branthon. His lips pursed as he tapped his chin thoughtfully.
I have, it's true, he said. But this is beyond even my experience.
Thematica turned his attention to Tarsa and said,
Perhaps if the captain is indeed healing, it might be possible to remove the device for examination.
Remove it? Impossible, you'll kill him.
Thematica shrugged.
Well, then I can offer no explanation.
Never mind explanations, said Tyro. We're here to speak to the captain. Bring him up.
Tarsa bent back to the casket and slotted home an activation key from his Narthesium gauntlet. A panel slid out from the side of the cryotube with a number of ivory sliders and cog-rimmed dials of black plastic.
Disengaging stasis field, he said,
turning the leftmost dial down to zero. The field keeping Ulrak Branthon trapped in a sealed pocket of time was invisible, but Tyro knew the instant that the power was cut. Air from the past was released, frozen and stagnant and freighted with the reek of putrefaction. For all Tarsa's talk of healing, the mass of the captain's body was still hideously broken.
Raising core body temperature?
Frost melted on the captain's skin, running down his cheeks like tears. His features softened and gained a measure of colour as blood began flowing around his body. That same blood leaked in glutinous, oozing clots from the wounds on his chest and the ragged stumps of his thighs. Branthon's eyes moved beneath their lids. His lips parted, and a rancid exhalation misted the air before him.
"Brain activity increasing," said Tarsa,
reading the cascade of information on the slates inset on the casket's steel-paneled flank.
"Alpha wave amplitude nominal, theta wave activity increasing, neural oscillation building rapidly. You can speak to him now. He'll hear you."
"Ulrich," said Tyro. "Something's
We failed."
As always, Ulrich Branthon's filtered voice sent a shiver of dread down Tyro's spine. It came from a place of unimaginable pain, where that pain was all-encompassing and sealed inside him for what would feel like an eternity. It spoke of tortures that no man should endure. Past experience had taught Tyro that Branthon's first moments of wakefulness were often difficult as his mind reassembled its disordered fragments, fighting through the agonies clouding his thoughts. All he could do was press on.
"Captain, we've linked with Medjuson of the Sawgirl clan," said Tyro. "He has a mission and needs our help."
Branthon's head rocked back and forth on the blood-stained mat beneath him. The flow of blood from his ruined extremities waxed strong.
"We failed. We failed at Istvan. And we failed at Idris."
"No, we were betrayed,"
said Tyro, gripping the edge of the casket. The heat from his iron fist melted deep grooves in the ice.
"The Vormaster betrayed us all."
"We are no longer worthy. The angel Exterminatus was born, and generations uncounted will curse our names for eternity."
Tyro and Sybus exchanged glances. Of all the things they expected from their captain, self-recrimination wasn't one of them. Rage and a thirst for vengeance, yes. Not ominously prophetic words.
"Medjuson believes we should join forces," said Tyro. "I would hear your counsel."
Branthon turned his head towards Tyro.
"Join forces? Why?"
"He believes we can kill Alpharius."
"Kill Alpharius?"
"Yes."
"Kill a Primarch?"
"We will have revenge,"
said Sybus, joining Tyro at the side of the casket and pouring all his hatred and grief into every syllable.
"Not on the Phoenician, but his time will come."
Branthon's eyes opened. Sunken, milky orbs veined red with dead blood and yellowed with necrosis. Tyro recoiled from the madness he saw there. A riot of insanity made sport behind those hollowed orbs.
Revenge. Salvation in blood."
30 seconds, said Tarsa.
Tyro rallied his thoughts in the face of Branthon's pain and desperate hunger for atonement. He wanted no counsel from a mind torn to pieces by pain and an eternity of recrimination. He felt Tarsa's gaze upon him and saw the apothecary was just as horrified by the toxic rage in Branthon's eyes. Silent understanding passed between them. The tears on Branthon's cheeks froze instantly, but he had one last order to give before icy eternity swallowed him.
"Do it! Kill Alpharius and purge our weakness of failure!"